Yeah. come along and they're hoping to catch a little boozey. Policeman come around and you know he's gonna do his boozey. Every day from morning till dusk, ain't no place around that's quite like Jacob Reed's bar. Lighting fires, wheels out in this bar. All the naked people down at Jacob Reed's bar. Jacob Reed's bar. They watch jellyfish staring right out of the water. They quit faster than Jaws, even Dracula's daughter. Lying on the blankets with their food bowls up to the sun. Falling and a browning and a picking till the day is done. Every day from morning till dark, ain't no place around that's quite like Jacob Reed's bar. Delighting twice out in this bar. All the naked people down at Jacob Reed's bar. Yeah. All the naked people down at Jacob Reed's bar. All the naked people down at Jacob Reed's bar. All the naked people down at Jacob Reed's bar.
Oh, yeah.
Aua, aua, aua. You know, rub-a-dub styley.
Yeah, the terrorist for you there. Reese Park.
Is that yes, right? Reese Park.
All the naked people at Reese Park.
Jacob Reese Park.
Jacob Reese.
Have you ever been there?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I.
Oh,
but I've heard about
it. Isn't it?
I've heard about it. I have never been to that particular beach.
Is that a,
beach.
What, a nude beach or something? Is that what they meant by those?
Well, words? Yeah. There's a fine line, though.
A fine line.
You've been there? Is it a? What's it like?
Dull.
Dull, really?
That's a word from my music director, Bill Sankovich. It's dull at Reese Park. So forget what the terrorists have told you. The band of terrorists, that is. I don't know. What the terrorists have told you.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard. It gets wild. People sometimes don't have any discerning taste.
It's on the neighboring beach, actually.
Oh, well, forget it. Get out of here. We don't want to talk to you then.
Then you weren't in actual Reese Park.
We walked over there.
You walked over there just to check out the
out.
Scene, man. A little voyeur coming around, getting a little booty, as the song said.
Wow. Well, we heard Rockaway Beach, which, as far as I'm concerned, is the real thing. Before that, from the
Rockaway Beach.
Ramones.
You get it. You'd love sitting in your tub or something. For as far as the beach is concerned, for you.
Well, I don't know if you know. Rockaway Beach is the standard, you know, it's the most famous American hangout, I think.
No,
maybe
Jones
Coney
Beach.
Island.
Jones
Not
Beach.
Jones Beach.
Yes,
right.
Jones
Rockaway Beach.
Hampton Bays.
Hampton Bays?
Smith Point.
West Meadow.
Hampton Bays is one of the most world-renowned beaches.
Well, you mean all of the Hamptons, not just the bays.
So. All of them put together, but
yeah.
It doesn't have a name
beach,
then.
Okay.
Now, I'd say definitely Jones Beach.
Did anybody mention Stony Brook Beach?
Is there such a thing?
Yes, in Stony Brook Village. Well, okay, let's get off the beaches.
Why? It's a beautiful
hour. There's no lifeguards on duty. We started off with Queen, Tie Your Mother Down. We got a phone call concerning the lyrics of that song, which is highly objectionable, but the person liked them. So they want us to keep playing objectionable music, which...
we will do.
Well, we're here for that.
We'll be objectionable ourselves.
Oh, we are objectionable. People object to us all the time.
Without a doubt.
So we, as we promised, we will have an open forum for you to speak out on the things that are plaguing you, the gypsy moth caterpillars, which are everywhere.
Yes.
Mike and myself went out before, and we couldn't walk without running into the damn things.
Yes.
We'll talk about
I was sitting underneath that little pine tree, and I was looking
trees.
Up, and I see a million of these little buggers, and they were fat ones, too. And,
oh, yeah.
And they were eating... Pine needles.
Pine needles. Regular leaves aren't good enough for them anymore.
The next thing you know, they're going to start eating the whole trees, and then they're going to come after your house.
They're on my house already.
They're on my house,
they're
too.
They're on my screen.
I think they think my house is a big leaf because my house is green.
You told us that Monday night, I remember. But,
yeah.
They were eating the pine cones, which is really fun. Not the pine cones, the pine needles. And there seemed to be one caterpillar for each pine needle, which is ridiculous.
Wait a minute. You know, if they start eating all these woody things, maybe they'll be eating roadside litter.
Well, okay, if we can put them to use, we can sponsor some sort of a bill, send it to the Suffolk County Legislature or whatever, sort of like the bottle bill, whereas caterpillars will henceforth be put on roadsides to clean up.
Will there be a deposit?
I don't know. That's something that would have to be discussed with Peter Culhellan.
Yes.
But we'll talk about all that. You'll have a chance to voice your opinions. Call us up here at 246-7901. Not yet, unless you just want to talk.
Which is perfectly all right with us.
It's fine with us, but you'll have a chance to go on the air, well, I guess, in about, what, half an hour or so? Does that sound okay?
Maybe more or maybe less.
All right. In the meantime, keep an eye, an ear out, rather, for this.
You passed the chem regents, or maybe just handed in your last thesis, but you can almost taste summer vacation.
But wait, there's still one more test.
Yes, it's WUSB's Final Exam 1981, the fourth rock and roll trivia bake-off and backdoor record giveaway.
Rule six, there is now! Rule six!
The rules are simple. We ask a question.
What is your name? You have 60 seconds.
And if you're the first with the right answer...
How about Betty Jo Bialowski?
You win an album and a chance to stump us with a question of your own for a second album.
Decisions of the judges will be capricious, unfair, and final, unless bribed.
If you don't answer the question, young man, we're going to have to gag you.
What question?
Gag him.
It's WUSB's Final Exam 1981.
The fourth rock and roll trivia bake-off and backdoor record giveaway.
Just another way we're saying...
Thanks for listening.
Here at Long Island's non-commercial alternative, WUSB, Stony Brook.
Yes, that's us.
That's us, all right. And don't forget, we'll be giving you a chance to hear the USB collage. That'll be coming up in about an hour. We'll be giving you all sorts of chances.
Wow, we have so many things to do tonight.
So many things. We've got news reports. It's really amazing how we're filling things up here. But we'll get to that. We have all sorts, as we mentioned before, special guests.
Yeah, we got all sorts of things. There's hot rumors flying around about a guest that might show up, but we don't know for sure, so we're not even gonna say who it might be. So we won't.
Did I hear a scream?
I heard a scream, too.
All sorts of weird things are happening.
Came from the intercom, mama.
Well, we're going to get into our caterpillar story soon. I have a song that I'd sort of like to dedicate. I couldn't find any songs with the name caterpillar in them. If anyone knows of one, give us a call. You know,
at 246-7901.
Area code 516.
Right. And you may have to dial 1 before that.
Yeah, you may have to dial all sorts of things before that. But whatever you have to dial, do it and get to us and let us know if there are any caterpillar songs. Worm songs will do fine because they are even snake
no,
songs.
No.
Why not? There might not be any caterpillar songs.
Oh, okay.
If there aren't any, if you can't think of any, the closest thing, even insect songs. Well, what are those insects? They are.
Yes, of course. What's that you have there now?
Okay, I have something by Nick Lowe, and it's something that caterpillars do, especially American caterpillars.
Uh-oh.
It's called the American squirm.
World. Everything was fine. Tried to make
From time to time, we have special guests drop in. You'll recall a few weeks ago we had Mr. Harvey Hunter, the great actor and playwright. But today we have Mr. Roger...
Yes, that's all right.
And you're here to discuss certain inequities in the American justice system as discrimination towards people of your caliber.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mr.
That's...
Oh, it's...
Yes.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I guess many of our listeners are wondering how a man like you got a name like yours.
Well, I figured you'd probably ask me that question, like nearly everybody I run into tends to ask me that question. I guess it's just because they don't know of people with names like mine, but I'd like to assure the people that we do exist.
Do you?
Yes.
Well, where did you come from?
Okay, well, my family is of Monrovian descent. Mm-hmm. The family tree has been traced all the way back to Pierre and Edna.
Ooh.
And that was back in the medieval days.
Mm-hmm. I see. And are there many of the family left today?
Well, it's nothing like it used to be, but in the metropolitan area alone, I believe there are still three members of their clan. That would be if I have my figures. Let me just check here. Yes, Joshua of Long Beach, Tony from Floral Park, and there's one more I don't have here. She lives in Canarsie. Let me just think a second. Oh, yes, that's Cecilia.
Oh, Gesundheit.
Excuse me?
Didn't you just cough?
Oh, no, that's her name, you see. She got married, and she wanted to keep her maiden name, so she combined the two, you see. No, you're thinking of a family in Columbus, Ohio. We have nothing to do with them.
Oh, so you're not related?
No, not at all.
But you're familiar with them, though.
Yes, well, we do try to keep track of one another.
I see. More on
we
that
do have
later.
A common interest, you know.
Yeah, more on that later.
Okay.
Let me get right to the point of this whole thing. According to the information I have here, you asked to be a guest on this program so that you could speak out against the injustices which a family such as the family must cope with from day to day.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, and before we go any further, could you just explain to us what those injustices might be?
Oh, I'd be glad to. For one thing, the state of New York will not give a driver's license to either myself or my wife.
Mrs. What's her first name?
Her first name is Judith.
Judith?
Yes.
Okay.
You have a slight accent, I believe.
Yes, Eastern European.
Okay. The clerk at the office said that our last name was, and this is a quote, ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah, and in addition...
I wonder what her name was.
In addition, I can't get a library card. My kids are unable to register for school, and I can't even get a listing in the telephone book.
I see.
And we've just about had it up to here.
Oh, well, of course I realize what a terrible inconvenience this must be towards people like you. But at the same time, I can see how a name like yours kind of goes against the grain of society. It sounds like you're plotting to overthrow the government or something. How exactly do you plan on...
Let me assure you, Mike, that people with names such as are among the most conservative people in the country.
Really?
I voted for Ronald Reagan. My wife did, too. My kids carry flags on their briefcases, except they don't go to school because the schools won't let them.
Yeah, but you're planning on changing things here. Being liberal in the
well,
fact
it's time
that to make yourself
it's time for
accepted
a change.
Into society.
Yeah, it's time for a change because we have been literally hiding under rocks for the past 200... Since this nation has been founded, we have been hiding.
You mean there have been oops since then?
We've existed since the barbarian age, before then even. Since the time of Christ, I believe, we've been around.
Well, how
all
you,
over the place.
How are you just going to go about getting things changed?
Well, lobbying, I feel, is the most effective way. It's really, I think, the only way, especially in a country such as ours. Now, what I've done is I've organized a nationwide coalition of families with central offices in Washington, D.C., and we have quite a list. I could go on for hours listing the families. it's really staggering.
I see.
A lot of common names, which most people probably wouldn't even think of as common.
Like,
yes, yes.
In fact, my neighbor's name is
Oh, then you do know people.
A few. He's rather reclusive, though.
Lots of times some of us tend to be like that, and it's really a shame because we can be the most diverse people in this country, one of the most diverse groups anyway.
Do you have common interests, or do you have share interests with any of the general populace?
Well, we like the same things they like. We like to watch tennis on television.
You go to baseball games?
Baseball games we go to.
What's your favorite team?
My favorite team is the Cincinnati Reds, in fact, and they're also, I might add, the oldest team in the baseball leagues.
Are there any baseball players with these funny names?
I believe there are some in the minor leagues. Now, you may think that the reason they haven't advanced is because their name provides a handicap to them. Let me tell you something, Mike.
Or do they change their names?
Some people do change their names. I really can't vouch for that at all. But the name in no way is an indication of the ability of the player or of the ability of the average person. People with names like ours have gone on to invent incredible things.
Really?
Really. The plaster wall, for instance, was invented by a Sam and that was, I believe, in 1857. No, I have to check on that, though.
We can look that up in our almanac.
Okay, you can do that, then. We have contributed to this society just as much as any other group, and I think in this time when everyone's demanding their rights, it's just about time for us to do the same thing in a peaceful way, of course. But, I mean, of all the groups, I think we've been put upon the most. I want to say thank you for giving me this opportunity to voice this. No one else does. I've tried to get interviews with Eyewitness News and all sorts of things, the cable news network wouldn't even let me on. You know the kind of weirdos they have.
Yeah.
Tom Snyder laughed at me for 3 minutes on the phone. I lost my dime. It was unbelievable. But I have to say, I'm glad that there is a radio station.
Before you go, I have one last question. Yeah, you consider yourself a minority.
Yes,
in American society. About how many of you are there?
Well, it's hard to say, really, because if you go around and ask people names like that, they'll usually, as we mentioned before, will come up with a phony name only because they don't like to start having people laugh at you. It's kind of tragic. People are hiding their true identities.
It's somewhat of a silent majority.
A very silent majority. They don't say a word lots of times. They just become total recluses. I'm trying to bring them out. And hopefully...
You can unite.
We can unite. We can put people in the Senate.
Great.
There's a very strong candidate right now. His name is Walter... Well, that's close enough. That's another problem. People have got to start learning to pronounce our names correctly. I can give you some pointers on that after.
Okay.
But he is he's a Republican. He's a strong contender, and I think by the year, 1992, he will be a strong candidate, and by that time, certainly people will have heard of us.
Great. Okay, well, thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
Mr.
Thank you, Mike. And
and if anyone in our listening audience has any questions, please feel free to write to Roger, care of Radio Free Weekend, WUSB, State University of New York at Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
It's kind of a long address, isn't it?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
The honeybee, but tweedly tweedly dwee goes the bird. But the sound of your little voice, darling, that's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. I say buzz, buzz, buzz goes the honeybee, while tweedly tweedly tweet goes the bird. Buzz, buzz, buzz goes the honeybee, but tweedly tweedly tweet goes the bird. Let's go out into the clover now. Here we are. The main is the grass growing, and buzz, buzz, buzz goes the honeybee, and tweedly, tweedly, tweedly goes the bird. But the sound of your little voice is sweeter, it's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. Well, I love to be out here in the springtime with the birds and the bees. We sing good, the birds sing good. But they're not like you for me. And buzz, buzz, buzz goes the honeybee, and tweedly, tweedly, tweedly goes the bird. But the sound of your little voice, darling, that's the sweetest sound I've ever heard. Tell them all enough.
Buzz, buzz, buzz,
that's what the honeybee does.
Tweedly, tweedly, tweedly.
You know, the bird does that, roughly.
Buzz, buzz, buzz
goes the honeybee, and
tweedly, tweedly, tweedly
goes the bird, and
buzz, buzz, buzz
goes the honeybee,
dilly, dilly, dee
goes the bird,
buzz, buzz, buzz
goes nature's honeybee, while dilly, dilly, dee goes the bird. But I love your voice even more.
Back to the phones, 246-7901.
Well, here we are, and we are accepting your phone calls right now for to speak out against gypsy moth caterpillars in the local area. There are a lot of them, hundreds of them, thousands of them. Isn't that right, Mike?
Yeah, there's plenty of them, actually.
Are we awake?
I think so.
Are we alive? Is our engineer awake?
That's the important part here.
Is my microphone on?
Yes, I think you're... Yes, I heard you coming out before. I think it's mine here.
Oh, okay.
Well, we can always share one microphone if that's...
All right, our number is 246-7901. If you have a comment about...
No, your mic isn't on.
My mic isn't on.
Why don't you come over here?
Why am I going to ask is my mic not on?
I don't know. So well, if you have to share...
Share
a microphone here.
Share this microphone? Okay, this is fine. If you have...
My favorite sound.
If you have a comment on gypsy moth caterpillars... give us a call, 246-7901, and you can have that comment go out over the airwaves and let everybody know about it. If you have some information that you think other people might not know about either gypsy moth caterpillars or regular caterpillars or any type of caterpillars, please let us know. We want to know.
What my neighbor does with his caterpillars is he rolls them up and he throws them against his house.
Any particular reason?
I don't know. Just that's the way he is.
Well, whatever you're into, that's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
But... we were outside before, walking around underneath the trees, and it was pretty eerie, the sound that they made, especially at night.
I'm always wondering whether it's the sound we hear is of the inchworms and the caterpillars chewing, or is it their sound that they make when they're pooping?
Well, I don't know about that.
As one of our listeners knows.
That would be an interesting fact to
talk about. Here's one
now. Have a call? Okay.
Have a call now.
USB, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I have some comments to make about caterpillars and stuff.
Go right ahead.
Okay, well, first of all, you know, I have a lot of comments to make because, you know, I believe they are, and I have several friends with me here that are lobbying. We've been lobbying for the past 5 years. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I thought you would hang up on me. We've been lobbying for the past 5 years to get them in to the Smithsonian Institution because we believe that they are a suburban institution. You know, they go along with infidelity and alcoholism and two cars in the garage.
Exactly.
And chicken in every pot.
And chicken in every pot, that's right. You know, it's funny, this is a cosmic coincidence because I was just munching on an underdone cheeseburger.
Oh boy.
And I was watching the TV. I just bought a color TV, Sylvania, which is another American institution.
Which you can't say in the air.
And I just saw a full color ad for Repellum. Have you ever seen that ad?
Another thing you can't say in the air, but no.
Repellum?
No, you're not supposed to say that.
Especially not twice.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm sorry. I understand. Well, this anti-gypsy moth ingredient or whatever you want to call it, it was on the air, man. I'm eating this cheeseburger, and all of a sudden they show like these full color photos, right, of these like caterpillars, you know, crawling up these. You know, because they were really moving.
Is this the thing that you tie around the tree, and they can't pass it?
No, it's a spray, I think.
Oh, it's
a spray. No, as a matter of fact, yeah, I think you're right. You put, like, strips, you know, on the tree. And, like, they really show them, like, they were really moving quick on the TV. And I think they put it in fast motion, you know? But, you know, they want to show them moving on the TV because they want to make them seem like a spider. You know, they want to make them, the faster they move, the creepier they are.
The more repellent they are, true. But something I've always wondered about with that type of method where they can't get up to your leaves, well, they'll just go down on the grass, they'll climb your house, they'll climb up on the roof, climb over your telephone wire, and then get onto the trees. These things are smart, I'm telling you. They know what they're doing. They've been around longer than we have.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, as a matter of fact, it's very interesting because the way I understand it, you know, you talk about the crime wave and the burglary wave in the suburbs and in the city. You know, people breaking into windows and stuff like that, and people breaking into apartments and homes and everything like that. People are actually using these, you know, gypsy moths and these caterpillars and stuff because they, you know, can actually slip under a lock or a hook lock or something like that, completely noiseless, you know, and break into the home. And then it's only up to the creep or whatever you want to call it to, you know, slide the door open or push the door open and come on in.
Huh.
You know, I live in the suburbs, you know, and I'm a middle class person. And you know, like I say, my friends and I have been lobbying for a long time. But anyway, you know, I it completely ruined my appetite. You know, I saw these guys crawling around on TV in fast motion, and I'm sure it's fast motion because from my own personal experience, you know, I see them crawling on my shoulders and on my arm and on my bare chest and everything else, and they're crawling very slow.
Well, wait a minute. Have you ever seen them being chased?
No, I've never seen them chased.
Well, when they're being chased, they run quite fast.
It's pretty funny.
I don't believe it. You know, these guys were moving too fast.
Well,
really. They were moving up that leaf like, you know, come on.
When they're about to turn into butterflies, what stage is the metamorphosis stage? When they're about to enter that, they start swarming and running all over the place. It's really funny. I once saw them on a park bench, and there were millions of them, and they were moving extremely fast. I don't know what their hurry was.
And if they had wings, that park bench would take off. That's how fast they were moving.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't trust, you know, TV. And it completely, I got a half a cheeseburger sitting there on my table because they saw full color pictures of these chips and more caterpillars.
See, radio would never do that to you.
It was disgusting.
We have other methods.
Yes, we only describe verbally.
Yeah, but can I stay on the air?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay. You know, I have a lot of different points. Like I said, my friends and I were lobbying, you know, to have them put in the Smithsonian.
Because, but wait a minute.
The Smithsonian represents everything that's pretty much American.
Where were you lobbying?
Well, just to say that everything in the Smithsonian, you know, all Americans can pretty much relate to, no matter class or whatever, that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, you know, this is some of the common kind of things that I think that these gypsy moth caterpillars and everything else represent to us Americans. I think, you know, let me try to present some of the experiences. And I think one of the experiences, for me anyway, is the early morning, after humid day kind of experience, okay? This is for every American who works from 9 to 5, I think can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, okay? And when I wake up, you know, I wake up pretty well, and I go out and have my coffee and breakfast and everything else, but I'm still pretty much in a daze, and I like to have the morning kind of mellow, you know, and kind of even.
Mm-hmm.
And after a humid day, right, and I'm still kind of dazed out, I'll open my door, okay, I'll open my front door, and I'll walk out, and all of a sudden I'll run into this haze of caterpillars at 8 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you know, they're just like hanging on my door waiting for me at 8 o'clock in the morning. Can you believe that?
It's kind of like one of those hanging curtains, right?
Yeah, it's paranoia, you know.
It's sort of like an Alfred Hitchcock film, if you ask me.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah, I mean, you got to understand at 8 o'clock in the morning, man. I mean, you know, and you haven't even gone to work yet. I walk out and I'm completely unaware. I should know that these guys are waiting for me, but I don't. And I walk out my door and I just, like, walk through them, you know, and I all of a sudden I realize that, oh, my God, I just walked through a wall of gypsy moth caterpillars.
And they're hanging off your shirt and everything. It's awful.
Okay, that's the second thing, okay?
And your hair.
Is you spend the rest of the day, okay, checking to see if they're on your shirt, your bare chest, your shoulder, okay? Because that's another thing.
Other points.
Is they're so damn sly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't know. They're silent, they're sly, you don't really feel them. I mean, you can walk through a gypsy moth caterpillar at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And that caterpillar can stay on you till 4:30 in the afternoon. And you won't know it. And I mean, you can go on till 8 or 9 at night. And
no,
that thing will still be on you. And you'll be sitting with a date, say, at 9 o'clock at night, and all of a sudden you'll glance over your shoulder, right, to look at somebody walking into a bar or something, and all of a sudden you notice this green hairy thing on your left shoulder. And you'll, you'll rub it off really quick, and your date will go, what's that? What's that? And you'll go, oh, just this thing. You know, up at like 8 o'clock in the morning.
But wait a minute.
Yeah.
You mean that little green furry thing's going to stay on your left shoulder all day?
They're not green.
I think that's one of the distinguishable things about these things. They have stick-to-itiveness. Stick on your shoulder, they stick on your shirt. No, really, come on. You know, I've walked through a maze, right, without knowing it, like 8 o'clock in the morning. I've kind of dazed out. And like 4:30 in the afternoon, I, like, you know, I'll look over my shoulder for some inadvertent reason, and I'll notice something, oh! Like you see a spider on your shoulder or something, you know? And you'll knock it off really quick.
Well, it's clear that the American people have to do something about this. I can't recall ever being this much of a threat before.
I really do. But you have to live in the suburbs to experience, you know, which means it's a Republican institution, because to live in the suburbs, you've got to be middle class.
And if you live in the urbs, you have to be... Okay,
which brings me to another point, if you'll let me stay on the air for a minute.
Well, we have another call waiting, but you can continue.
Okay, it's got more than, a nature significance, too. It's got a political significance, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like I say, that, you know, these things being, you know, that you have to live in a country setting, okay? You have to live under oak trees or some kind of trees.
Or pine trees.
Well, whatever kind of things, you know.
Actually, they climb on everything.
Well,
I saw a bunch of them on a dead tree in my backyard. That's stupid.
Even in NASA, you know, some of the jungles in NASA, like Hempstead grasses, you know. But it's very interesting, you know, how they define their lines. If you lived in Hempstead, okay, you wouldn't know it. You wouldn't know it. However, if you lived in Garden City, okay, that would be a different story.
Yes.
All right? That would be a different story. So in other words, I think that these worms, okay, and the amount of money that a person owns has somewhat of a correlation.
In other words, when you reach the upper brackets, you experience caterpillars.
That's what I mean. And
interesting.
I don't mean to sound paranoid, okay? But
we all sound paranoid. It's
well,
a horrible thing.
Like I say, I was watching the TV, okay? And the commercial said that this is going to be the worst year yet.
Well, a commercial, they're alarmist anyway.
Well, I think they're right this time.
Wait a minute. You don't understand. Mr. Reagan got elected, okay? This is a Republican year, okay?
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
He goes in, okay, to the middle class, which means the worms get worse.
I see.
Because there's more Republicans, more rich people, and naturally, you know, they're living in the country. The worms get worse, you know, because where there's trees, there's expensive homes. And where there's expensive homes, there's Republicans.
Do you mean to say that the current influx of caterpillars could be the responsibility of the moral majority?
I don't know.
I think we have some very serious charges here, if that's the case.
That sounds kind of conspiratorial to me. You know, that sounds kind of conspiratorial to me. You know what I mean? But, you know, I just have to say that the correlation with the heavy suburban population and the correlation between the heavy suburban population and the middle class economic structure, okay? And the middle class economic structure and the voting of the Republicans is just, you know, it's too obvious to ignore.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Okay?
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that with us.
Just one more thing, please.
Yeah.
Okay? Worm.
Uh-oh.
As in W-O-R-M.
Yeah.
It stands for the World Organization of Revolting Maggots. Worm.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
You know, I doubt that many people believe that this organization even exists.
I've never heard of it.
But it does. Okay? And I call on all Democrats, you know, if they elect a Democrat in the next presidential election, believe me, these things will disappear. Okay? You won't have to walk out and be assaulted by a wall of screaming, silent, hairy, crawling maggots anymore. Just elect the Democrats, vote to the left, and you'll be okay.
Thank you very much. So vote Democratic and get rid of those caterpillars.
Right.
Those opinions are not necessarily those of Radio Free Long Island or WUSB or anything else.
Or WUSB Stony Brook.
No one's opinions, but our number is 2467901. If you have an opinion to express about caterpillars, inchworms, green maggots, even
slugs.
The
professor.
We do.
The professor.
He's here.
The professor. The professor just walked in the room, and let's see if he cares to talk with us. Hello, professor.
I'm sorry.
There he is. I see him in there.
Hello?
Hello.
Where's the mic? Hello.
The microphone's right in front of you, Professor.
I left my glasses.
You're doing fine. You just look straight ahead.
Where? Here?
You don't need your glasses.
Oh, wow. This is nice.
So,
hey, good evening.
Now, you're Professor Whoopsie. Is that not correct? Is that your name?
Yes, with a Q.
I see.
Whoopsie with a Q?
Whoopsie with a Q. W-Q-E-P-S-I-E.
That's correct. Good evening.
Good evening, Matt.
Good evening.
Could you tell us your feelings on the caterpillar influx?
The feelings?
Your feelings.
The feelings, they tickle.
Uh-huh. You're right about
if
that.
If they're running over you.
Yes.
The webs tickle.
The very annoying, I have a theory.
Uh-huh.
That.
I see.
What is your theory?
They have a lot of legs.
Is that your own theory?
It sounds like an elk's theory.
It is mine.
It probably is, too.
Yes. Yes. Good evening.
Now, you are from the...
with a Q.
The caterpillar department here at the school.
Yes. Now, we have courses in caterpillars.
And could you tell us what your findings are?
CAT-100.
what are your findings?
It's supposed to be BAT-100.
BAT-100?
Yes.
Batterpillars.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Batterpillars.
Yes. Question?
Do you have a special inchworm course for beginners? Somebody was telling me about that before.
It's next semester.
Oh, very good.
It is two credits.
Two credits.
Is
there an associated lab?
Well, that is far away.
Uh-huh.
The lab is far away or the time is far away?
The time.
Oh. Okay, I have a serious question for you, Professor.
A series of questions, yes.
No, a series. Come on now, Professor, be serial.
Is that question with a Q?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you.
The noise we hear
like
when
the
we're...
letter Q.
The noise we hear when we're trying to get to sleep at night... for instance, if your bedroom windows are open and you hear these little things...
Yes, I sleep outside.
Is it crunching or is
I like the caterpillars.
Is the caterpillars chewing?
It's part
chewing?
Of my study.
Is the caterpillars chewing or pooing?
That's the question of the day.
The question, when you hear the caterpillars making noise outside, yes?
Yes. They sound like raindrops almost.
It must be raining.
No.
Not if there's not a cloud in the sky, Professor.
And not a drop in the air.
Well, maybe it's caterpillars doing something.
What? That's the question.
Oops. Please repeat the question. Q, with a Q. Yes.
What's the sound we hear?
I've been caterpilling for 12 years.
I didn't know caterpilling was.
I know all about them.
Let's hope somebody calls up.
They have big eyes too, and they can see you.
Our area code is 516.
And that's why when they're on top of you, they come down.
We hear that
and tickle you.
There's a great epidemic of caterpillars, gypsy moths, in Connecticut as well. And we have a phone. Call.
We have a caller about caterpillars. So let's
they
check
like
this out.
Eating leaves.
We might have a question for you, Professor.
Good evening. Yes,
USB, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. How you doing? Listen, I've been listening to radio talk shows for a long time, and I just got to tell you that this talk about caterpillars, I just think it really touches the pulse of America, you know?
We believe so,
I'm really not kidding.
We believe so, too. That's why we're doing this. We feel we owe it to Americans as a public service.
No, you know something. I know you know, it's a put-on and all that, but I really think that...
Put-on?
It's a common problem, man. You know, really.
It's a serious problem.
You know, they're called before that, you know, touching caterpillars off your shoulder like 8 hours later. I'm serious.
It's very true.
Right, you know?
Very true.
Yeah, it really is, you know. And it's, you know, it's... You know, it's trivial in a way, but it's really true. It's funny. It's funny as hell, but it's, you know, it's true. That's the thing, you know.
And
what could I say? Because I had the same problem, you know.
The noise you hear late at night when you have your windows open and you're trying to get to sleep.
That's an interesting thing, man. I just turned my radio down before I heard that comment, and you know something? I don't hear nothing at all, man.
Uh-oh.
I just...
Well, stand in the woods.
Crickets, you know?
It's too many rock concerts, I guess.
Stand outside in the trees, and I guarantee you'll hear it.
Second-wave seats at a Who concert, right? No, really, I'm telling you, man, when I go to sleep, I hear things, but I don't know. I mean, can that actually be the worms? I can't, you know, think. The thing is, I can't envision a worm actually opening his mouth and biting something and digesting it, you know, like the human does.
They do it.
Noise doing it.
They do it, sir, and there are so many caterpillars on each tree. There must be 100,000 caterpillars in a little forest.
Yeah. Well,
they're all making
noise. It's funny, man, because it's really touching the pulse of a certain culture or whatever you want to call it. And you know, however funny or as much as a put-on it is, it's...
Yes, we mean it to be actually...
You know, it's unfortunate because... You know, if 40 or 50-year-old people who were married and owned homes, you understand, in suburbia, like my mother-in-law, man, she just put up $50 to have a porch sprayed.
Oh,
like
just
the porch,
a porch
is like 8 feet, you know, wide. She paid like $50 to have a porch sprayed, you know, 8 feet sprayed for like 60 seconds, you know. to have her inchworms cut out, you know, because of the special chemical that they had sprayed.
That's like about $1 a minute.
$1
a second.
Incredible, isn't it?
$1 a second.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, you see, you know, you being a college station, you relate to a lot of people who live on campus, and you have the grounds crew, you know,
uh-huh.
who comes and take care of that problem. You
Not
know.
Me. No, I take care of that problem myself at home.
What do you do, eat them?
We try to coax them off.
No, yeah. I don't mean to interrupt you. But, you know, it's no, really, it's true. You know, I my mother-in-law, she said, and you know what she said to me? I said, I was talking to her, she said, but it was worth, she said, it cost me $50, but it was worth every cent.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Well, listen, we have another call to go to.
Hey, Nanette. Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, Radio Free Weekend, you're on the air.
Hello, I have a question for the professor.
Hello, Professor, can you get on this
line? Professor still with us?
Professor, can you talk on this line?
Well, I don't know if he can talk to you, but he'll hear you, so ask him the question.
I am here, I am here. Yeah,
professor, if the sound is in the forest, if there's no one there to hear it.
Did you hear that, Professor?
Is the sound, yes, it is there.
He says it is there.
They must
it's
eat.
There.
They must eat.
Was he ever there to hear it?
He wants to know how you know, Professor.
I know. It is physically correct.
He says it's physically correct. Hey, Professor, why don't you pick up the phone in there?
I cannot see. Phone. Where is it? Oh, here?
Because if he was there to hear it, then it doesn't count because he was there.
He can't hear you. That's the problem right now.
I see. He's probably out in the phone.
Oh, there he is.
Hello.
Hello, Professor.
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Good evening. Is there a sound in the forest if there's no one there to hear it?
Well, that is a question which has been asked by many ancestors. The answer is, who knows?
Ah. That's a startling revelation.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're learning something.
They still must eat.
I would just like to report the results of an attempted cure for the caterpillars. I'll tell you what happened. It's a very sad story. I don't know if I should share it with the listeners.
Please continue.
Well, a friend of mine, he got a giant male caterpillar costume.
Oh, boy.
And he put it on, and it was his goal to attract all the female caterpillars. And he would lead them away from all the trees and out into the sun, and they'd die. Well, he didn't realize how many caterpillars there were. There were so many, like you're saying, hundreds of thousands. And he went outside in this giant caterpillar costume. And then the next thing you know, he was engulfed, and he was smothered by all the caterpillars.
Female caterpillars?
Female caterpillars. It's very strange. When they finally got the costume off, he had a smile on his face.
Yes, yes.
But it's very dangerous. I thought you should know that in case you were thinking of doing it yourself.
Well, we want to thank you for warning us about that.
And did you know that the approximation for the probability and the calculation of the approximate number for an average tree of caterpillars is 113.7?
I think our caller hung up, Professor.
No, I forgot.
Oh, there he is.
No, I did know that, but I didn't. I was trying to forget that.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling, sir.
You're quite welcome.
Our number is 2467901. We have time for one more call. I'd like to ask the professor something, though, if I may. As far as the many different types of caterpillars there are, we see the gypsy moth caterpillars that are, you know, the hairy ones, and they get very big and fat sometimes. But how many other caterpillars do you know of? I've heard of green ones, but I haven't seen too many of them.
And inchworms.
Are inchworms caterpillars?
Oh, you talking to me?
Yeah.
I dropped my glasses. I must find them.
I could never say that twice in one day.
With green ones, there are approximately only 5% of all caterpillars that you see today are green.
I suspected something like that.
Yes.
Let's go to our next call. USB, you're on the air.
I have a question for the professor.
Yes.
Professor, professor, get on the line.
Moment,
hello,
please.
Professor?
Well, no, hang on.
He's going to pick up.
Hello.
There he is.
Oh, professor?
Yes.
I'd like to know, are there any deadly caterpillars? If not, or if so, you know, which are the most deadly? And if not, are they dangerous caterpillars? And if not, are they hairy or smooth or what?
No, all caterpillars are hairy, and they are all furry, and they are friendly, and they do not eat people.
Didn't I hear something somewhere, I believe in a small country in Africa, about a new type of caterpillar evolving called the rattlesnake caterpillar?
Yeah, but I had a friend who has no nose. A caterpillar actually hung on to his nose and ate his whole nose.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
How does your friend smell?
He doesn't. He doesn't smell.
Did he go up the nose?
No. He was, you know, it's an unfortunate thing, too, because he used to do a lot of cocaine, and he doesn't do any more, you know, because of the caterpillar.
Well, that's a lesson for you, you know.
That's right, it is.
That's a warning.
Yes.
These caterpillars are, like we said before, the caterpillars have most likely been sent by the moral majority, and you know that's the first thing they're going to wipe out.
Excuse me?
See the connection?
Yes.
It goes over the heads of a lot of people. A lot of people don't understand.
Oh,
including
yeah,
this
yeah.
person.
Well, you know, this
you
guy has, you know, no nose, and I'd like to know, you know, I'm going on, I was planning to go on a trip to Africa later on in the year. And, you know, I studied most of deadly animals, but unfortunately nothing came into mind, you know.
What would the caterpillar do with the nose? It has no head.
I don't know. You see, I saw this horrible, horrible scene myself, and it was very, very destructive, Professor.
Why is that?
Gentleman was, and I were walking along through the jungle, through supposedly a safe trail. Mm-hmm. You know, it was marked by the park service. And all of a sudden, I saw this gentleman rear back in horror. His eyes lit up, and he was holding his nose with both hands.
And to get the bullet.
Well, he fell down onto the ground with both hands over his nose.
Are you sure it was a caterpillar?
I don't know, but I.
I doubt it.
I ripped both hands back.
I have many friends who are caterpillars.
Well, I ripped both hands back, okay? And you see, this is the thing. I saw on his shoulder, 2 minutes later, a caterpillar running very hurriedly down his left shoulder.
Was he being chased?
The caterpillar was trying to save him.
No, we were just walking along the jungle.
Oh. Did the caterpillar get away?
Yeah, supposedly. Oh. Yeah, because I never caught him.
And I suppose there were no witnesses, right?
I was
as usual.
My friend.
Nobody came forth and you know, tried to identify the caterpillar?
No.
That's so typical, you know?
But there was an eight-leg print check done on the caterpillar.
Uh-huh.
An eight-leg print check.
Yes.
Not unlike a common fingerprint check.
Did anything come of it?
You understand?
Yeah, did anything come of it? Did they ever find out anything?
No, unfortunately, I think it was his first offense.
So they let him go just like that. Is that it?
Well, you know, the system of justice these days. We need the Republicans in office.
Takes the nose off your friend's face and he's giving a slap on the back.
It's the moral majority.
It could not have been a caterpillar. I resent it. I am leaving.
I am going. Well, I do not like it.
All right, there goes the professor.
It is not...
Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
It is not like a caterpillar to
all
bite
right.
somebody.
Well, we don't want to get into too much of an argument over this, but we would like to say thank you to all the callers who gave
yes.
us their opinions on caterpillars.
Goodbye. I am leaving. I am getting out of here now.
And we'd like to thank the professor as well for
Goodbye.
Being here for this long.
Thank you.
Sorry, I must leave. Ouch! But he's good.
Good night.
I'm
Just guess who that was.
Who was it?
Adam and the Ants.
Oh, of course.
Some more insect music for you here on the Radio Free Weekend, which is just getting underway.
Yes. Very shortly, we'll be having the fabulous adventures of the Tripod family.
The Tripod family. The one and only Tripod family.
And boy, is there a great development this time around.
I understand it's going to be quite an episode, so stay with us. We'll be playing the collage for you before the hour is up. So stay right where you are. And at this very moment, we have something from another insect-type band, Doug and the Slugs. Now, Bill Sankovich was in here a little earlier, and he really got quite impassioned talking about slugs, how they serve absolutely no purpose whatsoever.
I've seen some pretty neat slugs in my day.
Have you?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what kind of slugs.
And they were sharp dressers to boot. I saw one slug, he had a shirt and tie on.
Is that so?
Mm-hmm.
We used to have slugs in the front of our house that just slithered all over the place, and one day they went away and they came back.
I saw two slugs that were about this long once. Which is about 4 inches long if you're in radio land.
That's pretty. They look like snails without shells.
Yeah. And they're doing the strangest things. I couldn't even begin to describe it.
They're strange animals, whatever they. I don't know what their purpose is.
Well, why don't we play Doug and the Slugs and
Doug
listen
and
to their
the
music?
Slugs. You know what gets rid of slugs?
Beer.
Beer. Mm-hmm. Throw beer down on your driveway.
Look what it
are.
Does to your stomach.
Ha ha.
Uh huh.
Doug and the Slugs. Radio Free Long Island, in coordination with the Three Village Tobacco Farms, presents The Tripod Family, the story of one of America's most illustrious families and their struggle for peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Today we rejoin Howard as he arrives home from Cape May, New Jersey, where he's been stranded for 2 weeks. And we hear... Kathy! Kathy, I'm back! Oh, open the door. I wasn't lost at sea after all. I was in Cape May, New Jersey, but I didn't know it. Kathy! Pop? Why don't you open the door? It's me, Howard.
What the hell's going on here? You know what time it is?
Who are you? What are you doing in my house?
Your house? I got news for you, mister. This is my house. That's my porch you're standing on. And you've got your hand on my front door. And in a moment, I'm going to show you my hunting rifle if you don't clear out of here.
Is that you, Howard?
Oh, no. Now the whole neighborhood's turning out at my doorstep.
Charlie, I can't tell you how good it is to see you again. But where is everybody? What happened to Kathy and Pop? And who's this guy, and what's he doing in my house?
Look, it's 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, Howard, it's kind of a long story, you see.
Could you possibly tell this here story of yours somewhere else? Or at another time, my wife and I have to get some sleep, don't you know?
You just hold on there. No one's going anyplace till I find out what's going on here. Now, as far as I'm concerned, you're in my house, mister, and I don't even know what your name is.
Oh, it's Stanley. Hubert Stanley.
Oh, I'm Howard Tripod.
Oh.
Good to meet you.
Oh, pleased to meet you, Mr. Tripod.
This is my next-door neighbor, Charlie.
Oh, yes, we already met. And he's my next-door neighbor, not yours, wise guy.
Well, why don't you just ask him?
Hey, your name sounds familiar, you know? Hang on. Hey, Julie! Julie, didn't the lady who rented us this house have a real crazy-sounding last name? Like Tripod or something?
Is he talking about Kathy?
Yeah. Yeah, my wife says yes. Someone named Kathy Tripod rented this house to us.
What is he talking about, Charlie? Kathy would never do anything crazy like that.
Oh, you want to bet? You want to see the lease, pal?
Howard, let me try to explain this to you. Now, we got word from Whitney Island that you disappeared shortly after arriving there for the film.
You were going to be in a film?
Well, I was before I got lost in a canoe.
Hey, Julie, this guy's a movie star.
Anyway, Howard, we believe that you were really lost in the Atlantic Ocean. That is, until your Uncle Jonathan came over and told us what he thought really happened.
Hey, this is sounding more and more like a soap opera.
He said he didn't believe that you were really lost, and that you actually planned a secret rendezvous with that French actress. You remember her name.
French actress?
Yeah, well, I keep forgetting her name. I don't know what's wrong with me.
What, was it a blonde?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, Charlie. It was,
I don't even remember. Yeah, I remember seeing her on Tom Snyder.
We were just talking about this outside the other day.
She had such a peculiar-sounding name.
I remember he was really going.
Something about a tunnel.
Don't worry about that, Charlie.
Something about our tunnel or
a tunnel.
A bridge.
A tunnel.
A Brigitte LaRue.
Yes, that's it. Brigitte LaRue. What? Uncle Jonathan thought that I... And Brigitte... And now Kathy and Pop think the same thing? That's so funny. This is a serious situation. Don't you understand this?
I'm sorry. It's just so hilarious thinking of you and Brigitte LaRue.
Oh, I don't think so. I mean, nothing happened between us. I didn't even get to meet her, but it certainly could have if I decided to.
That's a laugh.
Listen, Howard, that's not your problem. The point is that Kathy got so steamed at you that she just took off and rented the house to these people. So they're the ones living here now.
Ha-ha! I guess that proves it.
I can't believe this. It's all Uncle Jonathan's fault. Why did he have to tell them that?
Could you possibly leave now? It's a little after 3 o'clock in the morning.
You can stay over at my house, Howard. Your father's staying there now.
Is that your father? He's about as much of a pain in the neck as you are.
Pop's over there? You mean Kathy's out somewhere all by herself?
Hey, this guy catches on fast, doesn't he?
Listen, Howard, I have no idea where she is. Nobody does. It's kind of funny, really, because a couple of days ago, nobody knew where you were. Where were you, anyway?
I'm going to bed. Good night.
Well, I thought I was on a remote island, but I was really in Cape May, New Jersey. But that's a long story. I've got to find Kathy. And I'm going to do it, Charlie, if it's the last thing I do. And so Howard embarks on a mission to find Kathy, who has left him for a mistaken reason. and you want to be with us next time when we'll hear Charlie say, "Well, I wish you luck." That's next time on The Tripod Family, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. This is Don Topeka.
Every job they offer used to kick you up the dock. Career opportunity, the one and never not. They offer me, the office offer me the shop. Take everything they got. Do you want to make tea at the BBC? Do you want to be? Do you really want to be a cop? Career opportunities are ones that never knock. Every job they offer you to keep you at the dock. Career opportunities are ones that never knock.
home advice to new mothers. Now, we know you all want to save Dell, but contrary to popular belief, old newspapers do not make a good diaper substitute.
New moms will want to give Junior plenty of toys to play with, but make sure they're suitable. Table saws, outboard motors, and wood-burning kits really belong in Dad's workshop, not the nursery.
And don't buy the little Tiger Particle Accelerator until he's had a course in basic physics.
Kids have special nutritional needs, too. Don't put a steaming inch-thick sirloin steak in front of a little toddler and sit back to watch him gobble it down. At that age, he still needs a knife and fork.
Choose your pediatrician wisely. A pediatrician is a skilled individual with many hours of training and practice, and that's expensive. Though you might save a few dollars going to someone who operates from a mobile home with an honorary MD, ask yourself, wouldn't Junior be better off with a real doctor?
Now, eager moms will want to get a head start on Junior's education. But if he can't even talk yet, it won't do any good to put him in a Skinner box.
Getting back to thrift, it's nice to have your kids earn money so they'll know the value of a dollar, but don't hire them out to a construction site until they're at least 5 or 6. So this is Spunky.
And Spunky's saying,
don't let your kids play with blasting caps.
Shouldn't make silly sounds like that, Mike.
Yes, okay.
Well, I'd like to say special thanks to Frank Burgess for bringing in a few records that are of interest. They're called Environments Records. And this one has to do with... Professor's still here?
I left my glasses here.
Look, they're on your head.
Where are they?
Which one is this? This is...
Here are your glasses.
Oh, hi. Thank you. And the head is Herman here. Herman?
Your what?
My caterpillar.
Herman, his caterpillar. Oh, yes, it's over there.
Your
on the
jar. Caterpillar? A real caterpillar?
What's your ship? I...
Caterpillar juice.
Anyway, getting back to this, we have an Environments record. And they have all sorts of things. They're supposed to make you, I guess, meditate. And they say it's a proven fact that meditation can improve your life. And this
What happens if you play it at a different speed?
As fast? I think it has the same effect no matter what you do.
Really?
It's called intonation. And it takes a special type of sound to both fill your mind yet free it to explore hidden thoughts. And this is the sound of hundreds of voices combined in such a complex, subtle structure that it defies anticipation, and indeed, sounds different every time you play it. Mike, you look very relaxed.
Eric?
Yes.
I'm too relaxed.
Well, then maybe it's time we went on to something else. But that's one of the things that these records can be used for. Meditation. They have all sorts of sound effects. Summer Cornfield. I just want to see what that sounds like. That's on the other side. And let's take a look at this. Oh, that's a summer cornfield for you. Think back to the last time you sat on the edge of a summer cornfield listening to the incredible tapestry of natural sounds.
Sounds like a Carole King album.
A simple sound to recall, yet one of the most complex in nature's repertoire, and perfect to fill the mind with pleasant detail.
That's really a really nice smile you have on your face there.
I'm just thinking back to all the
details.
Pleasant details last time I sat in a cornfield.
When was the last time you sat in a cornfield?
I don't know.
I can actually almost feel the breeze. Or is it from the fan out in the hallway?
It says, since the sounds are virtually continuous, it becomes easy to sit down, close your eyes, and imagine that they are real.
How's that for hype?
So the summer cornfield is also quite useful as a quiet background for most activities, as well as a pleasant fool-the-mind sound for social functions. And what's this? Someone's taking over the cornfield. What's going on there?
It's raining.
What is this, a war between peaceful sounds?
I know what it is.
What's that?
It's a cornfield in the middle of an ocean.
Quite possible. Let's keep the cornfield and leave the ocean. That's the end of the ocean.
Sounded like a whale.
What was that? That was wind in the trees? Some judge of sound you turned out to be, Mike. That was wind in the trees.
Well, you
was
didn't,
an ocean.
You didn't think you knew what it was.
I just assumed you were right. I guess I shouldn't do that.
Well, when you assume, you make an ass out of you and me.
That's real clever. On the other side of this, Frank, is something called the ultimate heartbeat. Now, I'd like to hear what that sounds like. It says, after a great deal of analysis, we feel that we have produced a truly unique concept, completely effective for the purpose intended. The cardiac rhythm is tuned to universal subconscious and autonomic responses to produce amazing yet aesthetic results when used for its primary purposes, lovemaking and meditation. That's what it says right here.
Yeah, I know.
In addition, parents of newly born infants often reported that the sound calmed their child's sleep when played softly near the crib.
Would they have to get up every half an hour just to put the record back?
They would have to do that.
Yes, yes.
Or maybe they have one of those continuous ones that when it goes up, it comes back and starts again.
Oh, yes, yes.
But the thing is, I mean, parents, I don't know what it took to get parents to play this softly beside their kids as they were sleeping, but it's a known fact that if you play something by, it's either Elvis Costello or the Ramones softly near a child's crib, it has the same effect. But nobody ever does that, so no one knows. You look skeptical.
I am skeptical.
That's too bad. I'm sorry. So much for the heartbeat. Let's knock him off. So, Mike, you were telling me about some interesting sights on this campus of ours.
Yes, yes. Aside from all the inchworms and that kind of thing.
Let's finish with the inchworms or okay. Caterpillars or whatever. I'm really... fed up with him.
Let's talk about culvert trenches.
Culvert trenches. Anybody who picked up a copy of the campus newspaper this week, Statesman, it's coming out in the summertime now, that's good. There was a picture inside, a hilarious picture of a sign that has just appeared here on campus. What does that sign say?
Something like, caution, culvert trench ahead. Or
it says, yeah, it says, either warning or caution, culvert trench on right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most people do not know what in blazes a culvert trench is. And I can tell you, this is on a road that takes a steep drop down. So somebody seeing that on the way down is bound to panic and say, hey, what's this? A culvert trench is coming. What am I going to do?
It reminds me of those cartoons where people, the Rocky Mountain kind of things,
uh-huh.
Roadrunner. Beep, beep, and Wile E. Coyote, and they're chasing one another, and it's really kind of neat. Like, they're on a mountain road, and
yeah.
There's like a one-lane road, and a big truck comes the other way.
Or train.
Well, no, a truck usually. And so they have to kind of like get out of the road, and so they're running in midair, and they get back on the road.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes like...
unless they look down.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they wait in midair for a second, and then they drop.
And they know they're going to drop, too.
Yes.
They sort of sometimes wave goodbye.
Yes.
And they go, psh.
They go.
Well, sometimes not that, but... yeah, splat or something. But they always appear again in the next scene. I can never figure that one out. Oh, please. But is that the only sign on campus? There have been several weird signs on campus, I understand.
I don't know. I think, yes, there was. We'll talk about that later.
Oh, well, I know of, there was something that was sticking in my mind about, weird signs. Maybe I'll remember it later on.
Yeah.
But, there are so many funny signs here on campus, and also all over the place. If you want to call us up and let us know some of the weird signs you've seen,
Yeah, feel free.
The one that always got me, which I couldn't understand, was for when I was a kid anyway, is Bridge May Ice Before Road. It took me a while to know what that meant.
Yes.
Is it going to ice or isn't it? You know, what is this? There's no probability usually in...
it's all statistical.
Yeah. Once when I was driving where I shouldn't be driving, it's a place, I think, near Cold Spring Harbor or Cold Spring Hills or something like that, I came up to this road. It's a dead end, but it kept going. So I kept going, too.
Then it was somebody's driveway.
No, it wasn't. Well, maybe it was, but whose, I don't know. There was a sign, you know those little diamond-shaped yellow signs?
Yeah.
Well, after the dead-end sign that was that shape, there was another one, a yellow one, and it just said, danger.
Uh-oh.
Just danger. No explanation. You know, there's danger here. Right after that sign, there was another sign. I forget, I think this was a rectangular sign, a white sign or something, and it just said, keep right. Now, I usually do keep right when I'm driving. I couldn't figure that one out either. But then I kept going, and the road got narrower and narrower until it turned into a dirt trail in the middle of the forest, God knows where. And then I turn around. I just, you know, look behind me, and I see this headlight, two headlights, actually.
This was at night?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh.
I was with a friend, luckily, but there are two headlights coming after us, and apparently they weren't out for a drive like we were. At least we didn't think so. We had the idea that they were out.
After you.
After us. Because we were there, they were coming.
Uh-huh.
So we decided to turn around so that we wouldn't go any further into this whatever it was, because we couldn't go any further. We're starting to go down on the dirt road.
Ravines and gullies.
Exactly. So we found a place we can turn around. Just as we were turning around, the other vehicle came to us, stopped. Three people in it. One person got out. He was kind of a small guy with a beard. Another guy who was sitting next to him got out, who was kind of large and didn't say anything. And the third person got out, who I believe was in a suit and tie or something. The person with the beard looked kind of like a hippie, came over to us, and he asked to see our identification, driver's license, registration, that type of thing. And I showed everything to him. I said, hey, well, what's all this about? I didn't mean to do anything wrong. I don't know what I'm doing. He says, are you aware that you're trespassing on federal property?
Uh-huh.
I said, no, I wasn't aware of that. I had no idea. Then he shows me this identification. He says, I'm so-and-so. I'm a federal agent.
Showed me
this identification card from the FBI. Could not believe it. Could not believe it. I didn't know what it was. I didn't ask any more questions. I said, look, I'm very sorry. I didn't know what I was doing. Please accept my humble apologies. We just wandered on to here. And apparently he believed me. He said, okay, just turn around. Don't come back. Apparently what the big guy was there for is if I put up some sort of an argument.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what went on over there.
Huh.
But I'd like to find out. I intend to go back there sometime by bicycle.
Okay.
And if you want to take a bicycle trip, Frank, if you want to take a bicycle trip sometime,
yeah.
Tell me how to
that's a place to go.
Where are we going? What are you talking
about? Well, this place where we can all be arrested by FBI people.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's a new experience. But we still have to go on a bicycle ride after the show sometime.
Yeah,
it can't
be
tonight because my bike's still a little bit messed up, but maybe
why?
Next week.
Really? What happened?
Because some silly person dropped my bike.
I just heard inside, a fly in there.
Inside a van.
I did hear a fly.
Yeah, it pops up. Did you read the
and a little part? Piece of it fell off.
Did you read the... Well, no, you have to read the part about the fly. It says here...
I want to eat my pizza.
That's not on the record, I don't think.
Yeah, I just heard it.
No, yeah,
a pizza?
Right.
You heard a pizza on the record?
No.
What are we...
Oh, yeah, here it is.
Ow! You're stepping on my foot.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Do you know that one of the most beautiful sounds in nature is that of a soft breeze gently rustling the leaves of a grove of trees on a golden autumn day?
That this is a sea of summer insects whirring with an extraordinary intricacy and subtle beauty which...
No, subtle.
Subtle?
Mm-hmm.
Subtle. I thought it was subtle.
Yeah.
Okay. A sterile room into a friendly, sun-drenched vista. Then there is the single blue-bottle fly that occasionally comes to visit with friendly, astonishingly realistic acrobatics. Did you see that, Dad? Like you went...
No, I just heard it.
Somehow I don't think about that when a fly comes buzzing into me.
Acrobatics.
Well, you don't in real life, but you do on record.
When it's on a record, maybe. But listen, add the subtle reality of a few songbirds, distant cows, insects, a random crow, a far hound, and an attentive magpie. And the effect is that of an instant vacation.
Let's go on a vacation.
What else can we say?
Let's eat the pizza.
Let's leave you in the, where are we, the forest now?
No, we're in the summer cornfield.
We're in the summer cornfield. Okay, we're going to send you to the summer cornfield. We're going to go outside and have some pizza.
And we'll be back
shortly.
We'll
be back a little later.
Thank you.
67 degrees in Stony Brook. Time now for a look at the latest news. There'll be crucial balloting in the coal country on Saturday. It says here, soft coal miners are going to vote on the new tentative contract agreement with the coal industry Saturday. Now, if the pact is approved, it will end the miners' strike, now entering its 72nd day. United Mine Workers President Sam Church has spent the past week visiting coal fields to campaign for the settlement. And Church believes miners will ratify the offer, but he won't predict a margin. The controversy over President Reagan's nominee for human rights spokesman has more or less ended. Ernest Lefevre withdrew his name from consideration Friday after the Senate Foreign Relations Committee rejected his nomination. Lefevre told the president he could no longer tolerate the suspicion and character assassination. The Reagan administration might give Conrail, the federally funded railroad, another chance to prove it can make a profit. Government sources revealed Friday that Transportation Secretary Drew Lewis is considering an 18-month postponement of a plan to dismantle the financially strapped railroad. Commuter buses and railroads in the Chicago area are also in financial trouble, and so far, officials in Chicago and Springfield haven't come up with a bailout plan. But Friday, a state circuit judge ordered the Regional Transportation Authority to do whatever is necessary to keep operating, if it means increased fares and cuts in service. The authority is appealing the ruling. Eric?
Yeah, the Federal Reserve Board says American consumers in April borrowed $2.3 billion more in installment credit than they paid off. Now, that's a 25% drop from March, but the Fed says it's still one of the highest totals in recent months. A little ice fight going on in the studios here. Oh, boy. The government had good news Friday for consumers, but not so good news for job seekers. Inflation at the wholesale level was held to an annual rate of 4.6% last month, but the unemployment rate shot up to 7.6%, the highest level since last fall. Lebanon's foreign minister will meet Saturday with his counterparts from Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and Syria. The meeting in Lebanon is aimed at easing the conflict between Syrian and Christian forces. And ABC News says Israel has moved a battery of U.S.-made anti-aircraft missiles about three-quarters of a mile inside southern Lebanon. It's believed Israel could use the weapons to pressure Syria into removing its anti-aircraft missiles from Lebanon. ABC says Israeli officials refuse to confirm the report. Now over to some sports with Mike Uhas.
And here's the latest from the ballparks in the National League. Hey, I thought I was going to do American.
No, you're doing National, sorry.
Yeah, a bunch of finals for you. San Francisco 5, Pittsburgh 3, St. Louis 2, and San Diego 1. That was in 13 innings. Cincinnati 6. That's your favorite team, right?
It's not my favorite team. You must have me mixed up with somebody else.
I'm terribly sorry. That was, what was his name? Roger.
I must have missed that. Roger. That must have been when I went downstairs.
Right. Cincinnati 6, Montreal 3, Atlanta 4, Philadelphia 1, Houston 3, New York Mets zip. Chicago Cubs 4, and Los Angeles 3. And over for the American League with Eric.
Thank you. In the American League tonight, we have these finals for you. Detroit 2, Minnesota nothing, Milwaukee 6, Kansas City 2 in 12 innings, Texas 5, Toronto 4. Also in 12 innings, New York Yankees 6, Chicago White Sox 5. After 5 innings, Baltimore 4, California 1, and after 8, Boston 4, Oakland 1, and after 6.5, Cleveland 7, Seattle nothing. And we have this final that just came in a little while ago from the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. How can they have a World Series already? But they're doing it, college kids. We have this final, Oklahoma State 11, Arizona State 10. That's after 13 innings.
Excuse me.
Wait a second, you can't leave now. You have to read the weather. Okay, thank you.
Fire.
Mike is chasing Frank throughout the studio, so let you know what the story is with the weather. 67 degrees outside. That's what we have here. It's 19 Celsius. We're expecting partly cloudy, warm overnight, with a chance of some showers by morning. Low will be in the... What are you doing with that fire extinguisher? I'm not going to ask. Low will be in the low to mid-60s. I'm sorry, folks. Sometimes things get out of hand here. Saturday showers and thunderstorms likely, high 75 to 80. Clear and cool Saturday night, low in the low 60s. Sunday, sunny and pleasant with a high 75 to 80. Chance of rain is 60% on Saturday. And that is the latest. No, it's not the latest. Oh, we have temperatures.
Yes, foreign temperatures.
Foreign temperatures.
Athens, 66. Bonn, 61. Brussels, 54. Copenhagen, 52. Dublin, 50. Geneva, 54. Hong Kong, 73. Lisbon, 59. London, 52. Madrid, 61. Moscow, 59.
After two.
After two?
After two periods of play. It sounds like you're reading scores.
New Delhi, 77. Paris, 63. Rome, 68. Seoul, 70. Stockholm, 55. Tokyo, 66. And Warsaw, 71 degrees. I wonder if a fire extinguisher has ever been fired on the air.
I hope it never is fired over the air. Not over Radio Free Weekend. We promised you the collage. And we're going to bring you the collage in about 5 minutes, I guess. Does that
Something
sound
like
fair
that.
To you?
Yes.
Maybe we should talk to the folks about what the collage is.
What the collage?
Every year at this time, we bring you the collage. And this is the 4th anniversary of WUSB on June 27th.
USB FM will celebrate its 4th anniversary. We'd like you to join us. On the 27th, we'll be giving away all sorts of things over the airwaves as USB once again gives its own final
exam. And our DJs will be asking you the questions, and you'll have a chance to give us the answers and win some fabulous prizes at the same time.
So keep listening for details.
Right here on 90.1 FM. In the meantime, though, we'd like you to help us crack the USB collage. It's got about 60 pieces on it. And pieces of songs, and all sorts of crazy things. We're going to be playing it shortly. The person who names the most artists and song titles correctly will win themselves 40 albums.
Good ones.
40 albums. Your chance to win is coming up.
Can I sign y'all shoes?
Never mind.
1, 2, 3.
And Beetle Bulletins.
This is the title track of the latest album.
Hey, Tex Logan on Back Porch Bluegrass.
I need a cheeseburger to go.
Be like you Friday.
By the old, you don't train him on the night that he was wet.
CB on the radio.
Thursday, June 4th.
Thank you for your company.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's the collage. And as we said, there are approximately 60 pieces on the collage. If the piece is part of a song, name the title of the song and the artist. If the piece happens to be from a USB program, name the show. Partial credit will be given, and prizes will be awarded up to fifth place, and everyone who enters will get something. The entries must be postmarked no later than Wednesday, June 24th. So send it to WUSB Collage, State University of New York at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. It's 8 minutes after 2 o'clock, and you are tuned to WUSB Stony Brook.
Leaving on a Japanese road trip. Never 'cause here I go again.
Talking about signs before, I believe, Mike.
Yeah.
There's something I saw on the way over here that was kind of interesting. It was
Culvert Trench.
No, not the Culvert Trench. We talked about that earlier. But
right.
There was something else, which a lot of Stony Brook students are familiar with. They're these big white rectangular signs that say parking for either residential students only or for faculty or commuter students or whatever.
Right.
And the funny thing about this one was it said... only these people may park here. Violators are subject to ticketing and gospel concert.
Yeah.
It was really pretty funny because somebody stuck another sign right over where it says towing. And I just read it the first time, and I almost got into an accident. It's right by this thing we call Langmuir Curve.
Yes, the Dead Man's Curve of Stony Brook campus.
Things worked out okay. We have very funny signs here on campus.
Well, you know, I've noticed that, but it never really struck me as being funny.
You noticed that too?
Yeah, I've noticed.
I thought it was hilarious.
For a couple of weeks now. But
has it been that long?
At least, yeah, since the last gospel concert they've had.
There was another one on the administration loop that said, don't even think of parking here.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody took them all down.
We had those in Port Jefferson, too.
You did?
And we had one that said, thou shalt not park here.
Those are good. I mean,
yeah,
it makes you say, hey, that's funny, and you sort of respect people more for it.
Yeah, they're probably decorating somebody's backyard by now.
Yeah, that's pretty disgusting.
Yes, yes. Oh, well...
So, we have a lot of good things coming up.
We do? Oh, yes, we do. All sorts of things.
We forgot for a second.
Well, we got a Bunky and Spunky, a couple of things from them.
Yes, yes. Many, many things coming your way. And this is all part of Radio Free Weekend, something that comes to you every week at this time. And all sorts of wild and crazy things go on.
Oh, no. Wow, I can't believe it.
Oh, my God.
Yes, it is. It's been absolutely... Sydney Schreiber.
I suppose you don't remember me, is that it?
Sydney Schreiber, how the hell are you?
How the hell am I? How could you ask me that question?
Oh, wow, I...
Do you know where I have been?
Jail?
Yes, I have been in jail. For the last... How long has it been? 4 months?
Something like that.
What happened to you people? Well, I was arrested on the docks of Port Jefferson.
Uh-huh.
And you people didn't even come. You didn't even visit me, let alone bail me out.
What jail were you in?
I was kidnapped.
What jail were
you in? I was kidnapped, for God's sake, and nobody did anything.
What jail were you in?
You broadcast it live.
You never called us.
They wouldn't let me make a phone call.
That's your right.
The phone was broken.
The phone was broken. Can you believe that, Eric?
I don't understand this. I really quite forgotten about Sydney, and frankly, I sort of hoped to keep it that way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Sid.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
Sid,
I've worked for lots of people all over the country. I've had more experience than the two of you put together.
Okay.
And I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I risked my life for you two. I went out to Smith's Point in the middle of the winter. I went on the Long Island Expressway, exit 49.
No, no, I think you were at 57.
Whatever.
In Hop Hog, yes. See, now you can't even remember where you've been, and yet you want us to welcome you.
I was in Huntington Village. I got beat up in a bar in Huntington Village on the air.
That was when
did
you
I get
off.
Any thanks for that? No.
Well, hey, it wasn't our fault that you went walking.
Of course not. It wasn't our fault. Why do we blame for all
you
these
went,
things?
You went traipsing into the bar, and you didn't even pay your cover.
Listen, Sydney, we're not responsible for sending you out on whatever mission. That comes from strictly upstairs.
That's,
okay? They decide those things.
That's
we
right.
broadcast them. It's as simple as that. We shouldn't even be talking about this on the air, as
that's,
far as I'm
that's
concerned.
That's right. And, you know, our program director's going to get on your case.
This is ridiculous.
Sydney?
I just got out today. I almost broke out 2 weeks ago.
Why didn't you?
Because I was caught.
Oh. And they let you out?
Razor blade in my pocket.
Really? Well, how did they expect you to shave? Pulling out your whiskers one by one.
I'm going straight to the top.
Who?
The President of the United States of America. That's who.
Who? Who's that? What's his name? You probably don't even know.
Listen, Mike, I think we really should go into a song or something now. Let's straighten this out with Sydney off air, because there's really no reason to put our listeners
through
this.
Ladies and gentlemen, more music on Radio Free Weekend.
I'm going to get even with you guys if it's the last thing I ever do.
some plenty good music here on Radio Free Weekend.
Incidentally, ladies and gentlemen, we
got it straightened away.
We apologize for what went over the air before. We realized that it wasn't in the best intentions. Sometimes things happen, people walk in, and we don't really know what's going to happen next.
Yes.
Because Mike leaves the door unlocked a lot of times. And all sorts of wild people walk in.
Doesn't really
it's about
have
the 15th
to go on the
time this, you know, this time. All right, we won't talk about it now, but I intend to talk about
now,
it later.
There's people, if you don't know who Sidney Schreiber is, in fact, why, he's our ace reporter who actually kind of got kidnapped before. I guess we should tell him the story.
Yes, I guess we should go through it all again. Why not?
He got kind of kidnapped, and he got kidnapped, and Bunky and Spunky went down to rescue him. And when Sidney Schreiber came back on this boat in Port Jeff Harbor, well, there was just happened to be a Suffolk County Marine Bureau policeman standing there going over and hearing somebody talking about being kidnapped and thought that Sidney Schreiber was kidnapping Bunky and Spunky. But, alas, it was a mistake. And they were rescuing him, and they got him in jail for it.
Now, I think it was really one of the best things that that ever happened.
No.
Oh,
see back. How did he get in here? What are we going to do about
this? I just talked to Mr. Roberts upstairs.
You did?
And I'll have you know that we reached an agreement.
What's your agreement?
Whereby I will be doing a report every couple of weeks on your program.
Oh?
Not only that, but I will decide when to do them and how to do them.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have some authority around here for a change.
You're going to throw your weight around, huh?
Oh, my God.
He's going to throw his weight around, Eric.
Yes, I certainly am.
All 900 pounds. No, you're not that heavy. Actually, that prison diet did you well.
Well, shut up.
Okay.
I'd like to see you in a place like that for 4 months.
Well, I wouldn't.
You think it's funny. Both of you think it's funny. I see you grinning over there.
Yeah, well, you see...
I was in jail, damn it.
And
I was in jail with convicts, murderers, rapists, that type of thing.
But weren't you?
I didn't do a damn thing, and you know it. You broadcast the thing live.
You were kidnapped. That's why you were in jail.
I think we should leave it at this. Sidney seems to be turning really beat red, if you ask me.
Sid, I tell you what. Why don't you take a short vacation, go down to the Bahamas or something?
I'm going to be back. You're going to see some big changes around here, let me tell you.
And come back in a couple weeks with your first report.
I'm fed up with you people.
Goodbye.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Maybe his plane will crash on the way to the Bahamas.
Is he going to the Bahamas? I'll pay for it. I swear I'll pay for it. Let's, you know, start a fund. I'm sure our listeners will pay for it, too.
Yeah, something like that. Well, anyhow.
Well, all right. There's no point dwelling on this.
For sure. Why don't we just, like, go in?
He's going to be back, though?
Yeah, every couple... Well, hey, listen. It's not like he's going to be back every week. We're still going to have the tripods. That's what everybody's going to tune in to hear.
Yeah, the tripods are here, and I don't think the tripods were around when Sidney Schreiber was around.
No, actually, they kind of replaced him.
Oh, is that what we did? Wait a minute.
What?
Do you think, now that Sidney Schreiber is back...
Yeah?
...that the man upstairs...
Mr. Roberts?
Yes, will say that there is no longer a need... For the Tripod family?
Well, if he does that, we're going to have to go on strike. Now into some more music.
Damn right.
On Radio Free Weekend.
Yeah.
There was once a time when everything was cheap. But now prices old folks put some man to sleep. When we pay our grocery bill, we just feel like making our will. So we have get a poor man stands aside with this. Old schools that got the day ain't worth a cent. But they see to it that every child is sent. If we don't send them today, we'll have a plenty big fine to pay. Tell me how can a poor man stand such times and live? Most of the preachers are preach for dough and not for soul. That's what keeps the poor man always in a hole. We can hardly catch our breath, tax and school and preach to death. Tell me how can a poor man stand such times and live? around with face so bright. And he says in a little while that you'll be all right. All he gives is a bottle of pills, a dose of dope and a great big pill. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Oh, it's time for everyone to be away. We pay 50 cents a pound when we ask for steak. When we get our package home, it's a little white paper with bristle and bone. Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live? Tell me, how can a poor man stand such times and live?
Let me do it to you. trying to do.
But you can almost taste summer vacation.
But wait, there's still one more test.
Yes, it's WUSB's Final Exam 1981, the fourth rock and roll trivia bake-off and backdoor record giveaway.
Roll six, there is now! Rule six.
The rules are simple. We ask a question.
What is your name? You have 60 seconds.
And if you're the first with the right answer...
How about Betty Jo Bialowski?
You win an album and a chance to stump us with a question of your own for a second album.
Decisions of the judges will be capricious, unfair, and final, unless bribed.
If you don't answer the question, young man, we're going to have to gag you.
What question?
Gag him.
It's WUSB's Final Exam 1981, the fourth rock and roll trivia bake-off and backdoor record giveaway. Just another way we're saying thanks for listening. Here at Long Island's non-commercial alternative, WUSB, Stony Brook.
a woman lay, his wife stood there by you, a gun in her hand. Leona, Leona, it's over and through, the baby is crying and calling for you. For me, there's no difference. I've known for so long that someday you'd leave me, and now you are gone.
Oh, yes. Sounds like Jerry DeLisle's program, doesn't it?
It certainly does. We heard from the Dry Branch Fire Squad and also the Fly By Night String Band, all sorts of other things in between.
And Hartford and Dillard and Hartford from their album Permanent Wave.
Yeah, and Boogie On Reggae Woman. It was a strange version of that song.
Yeah.
Never heard like a folk version of that old Stevie Wonder song.
That song was my first introduction to reggae music. Not that version, but Stevie Wonder's.
It's not really reggae, though.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like soul.
Yeah, it is. But that's the first time I'd ever heard the word reggae.
Yeah. Didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, no.
Hey, it sounds like a cool word, reggae. Yeah.
Reggae, man, reggae.
Speaking of reggae, coming up at noon later on today, Saturday, as we do every Saturday, it's the most famous reggae program around.
In the world.
Western Hemisphere, anyway.
In the world.
Okay, in the world, this world, maybe all worlds, who knows. Do they have reggae on Jupiter? Alpha Centauri or any of those places? Probably not. So this is the most famous reggae program in existence. Comes your way every Saturday from 12 noon to 3:30 p.m., hosted by the world-renowned Lister Ewan Lowe.
Saturday's a party.
Saturday is a big party here in USB. Also, after the reggae program, stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. Please don't touch that dial.
Please, don't touch the dial.
Filipito Palacios coming your way with Anda Nueva. Filipito. Some of the best Latin beats around. After that,
I really enjoy Felix's show.
Oh, Felix's show is fantastic. It's well worth it. Even if you've never heard salsa music before.
And he has such a great style, too. I think he's really great.
It's fantastic.
Besides, he's a nice guy as well.
And so unique.
But it looks like he'd punch your head in.
Oh, he would.
If you ever got him cross.
If you said something nasty about his show, that's why we're praising him. So we can walk
Felix,
out of here.
We're your number one fans.
Yeah, Felix, we like you. After Andan Nueva.
I bet you it's Emissions Cousins.
It's Emission Cousin, they call it. That's a Haitian program. We have music and talk with Yvel Marc. And that goes from 6 to 7. And we'll have some details on some of the other things coming up tomorrow and Sunday, a little bit later on. And coming up after us at 3 o'clock is Rob Zeiser.
Hey, let's hope so.
Who just stepped into the studio.
Did he really?
Very happy to see him.
Hi, Rob.
Yeah. It's 2:45 right now. You have some things on your mind, I understand.
Yes, I do. In fact,
it's not good to keep on your mind.
Yeah. Money. It's a financial
money
kind of thing.
Isn't it on everybody's minds?
It sure is. It's, for me, I don't know. I seem to always have a shortage of $5 bills.
I have a shortage of all dollar bills.
I have tens and twenties and ones, but no fives. None whatsoever.
It's funny you should mention that because I did go to the bank today. I asked them for $5. I have an account in. I asked them for $5. I don't do things like that. And they gave me five ones, which is the first time they ever did something crazy like that.
So see, they are running out of fives.
Why?
I don't know. It just seems to me that every time I go to the bank, I always get one five out of it or something, and the rest is like big mega bucks. But I just really can't understand what's happening.
Well, how could there be? I mean, can I understand a shortage of $2 bills?
Well, I...
Because everybody wanted to save the things. There's no place to put them.
Yeah.
I can understand a shortage of Susan B. Anthony dollar bills, dollar coins.
Well, there's no shortage of them. But
they're all over the place, but still, people do hoard them sometimes. Bicentennial quarters, there was a shortage for a little bit of time. Now everyone says, oh, what the hell, they're worthless anyway. So many of the things.
I mentioned it to my banker today, and I said, could I have two tens, two fives for this ten? And she says, sure. I said, I always seem to have a shortage of $5 bills. And she says, yeah, well, you spend them like ones anyway.
That's true today, too.
But look what I have in my hands right now.
It looks like you don't have a shortage of $5 bills
now. All the paper money I have on my person.
is $5 bills.
So are you some sort of a hypocrite now? I mean, it's
look at this.
You had a shortage.
There's seven $5 bills stand out in my hand. Oh, wow, it's a nice breeze. These great.
So how can you sit there and tell us that there's a shortage of $5 bills and you're holding $35 in your hand?
It's just one of those Pythagorean theorems or something like that.
Well, I think your logic is totally...
Well, yeah, I agree. But I...
You get an argument for $5, you know.
No, I didn't know that.
I did.
So, well, anyhow, we've got
money,
all sorts of good stuff left for you in the last 10 minutes of the show.
Something else from Monkey and Spunky, I believe.
And some good music, and who knows, maybe even a yuck or two.
A yuck or two? Oh, boy.
Yuck, yuck.
Who knows?
Coming from the Yucatan Peninsula down in Mexico.
Could be. I'm still kind of upset about Sidney Shriver, but I don't know. I guess I shouldn't talk about that anymore.
We'll see if he ever follows up and gives us reports.
I'm kind of dreading next week.
Yeah, me too.
Maybe he won't come. He said every couple of weeks, not every week like last time. But.
Oh, and by the way, if you find a shortage of $5 bills, welcome to the club. If you have an excess of $5 bills, would you please send them to me?
Certainly. You were saying something during the music before. About the different types of $5 bills there are?
Oh, well.
Lettering or something?
Frank asked me. Well, what happens if you have a $5 bill with red serial numbers?
Now, they're green ordinarily.
Well, yeah, because you see up on top it says Federal Reserve Note?
Yes, it does.
Well, on the ones with the red serial number and the red seal, it says on top United States Note, which are discontinued as of series 1963.
Oh, so they're rare. Now, what's the difference?
You don't see them too much anymore, no.
What do they do that the other ones don't?
I really don't know. I just know that there's a difference. And also now, if you're a true connoisseur, you know that the blue, dark blue serial numbers indicate silver certificates, which are also no longer.
I think I had one of those. In fact, I had something from, I believe it was printed in 1928. It was a $20 bill.
Well, no, if it says 1928, you can't judge by that.
Well, the thing is, I had this weird-looking $20 bill. It was very old.
Was it big?
No, it wasn't big. It was just, you know, regular $20 bill, except it was lettered a little bit differently. I don't know if it was blue, red, pink, whatever. But I was stuck up in Canada with this $20 bill, and I needed money. And I didn't know if this thing was rare or not, so I was calling people at my house, you know, in my hometown, asking them, is this $20 bill, you know, worth something? Should I hold on to it? But I really need money. Should I spend it? What should I do? I called a bank. I asked them, and they said, hey, yeah, I can tell you what the thing's worth. It's worth $20. And that was really funny, and I laughed a lot about that. I ended up spending the thing, and I really never found out if it was worth $100.
Depends on the condition, of course, numismatically speaking.
Yeah, well, it's been around since 1928 in circulation, so it wasn't all that, you know, dandy.
Well, you don't know it was since 1928. See, now...
It looked like it.
Like, this here one, mm-hmm. The series 1977A.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean it was printed in 1977.
Oh, what does it mean?
This one here says series 1977.
It just said that. Oh, 1977 without the A.
Right, now this one is series 1974.
Oh, wait a second.
This could have been printed from any time from between 1974 and 1977.
I have a single dollar in my wallet here. And I have series 1977 on that.
Mm-hmm. And well, are the signatures Azzy Taylor Morton and W.M. Blumenthal?
Yes. I was about to ask you the same thing. What's this little thing over in the right-hand corner? It says D and then little small numbers 1163 on it.
Well, you see, they have these great huge plates that they print these things up with.
Uh-huh.
And each plate has a number, and that's the number.
Oh, so there are two numbers on it, the plate number and the serial number.
Yeah, well...
And the bill number, of course.
Well, the serial number is the same thing.
Well, I mean, a bill number, like a 1 or a 5. Or
oh, 20, I see what you mean, yes.
100. It does go up to 100, 500.
Oh, there's 1,000.
1,000.
And I think there's a 10,000, which are only available to banks, but they don't allow...
1,275, I hear?
Yes. Yes,
well,
that's
those,
very rare.
Very rare.
Yes.
Extremely rare.
They've gone the way of the $3 bill.
They certainly have. I don't know where they are. I'd like to see, whose picture is on the most expensive? Ronald Reagan?
I think it's Grant, but I'm not totally sure.
Grant, huh?
Franklin.
As in basic educational opportunity.
Yes.
I see.
Biog.
Very, very interesting.
100, that's... Really? Yeah, I think that's about the biggest I've ever seen, too. See, I'm not very rich.
What would you know what bothers me? I understand that. I think every year or two, the Treasury takes all these old dollar bills and burns them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was just wondering, would it upset the balance so much if they took, you know, those old dollar bills or whatever and donated them to something? I mean, what could be so... what would happen to the economy if that... I mean, I'm not advocating, you know,
I'll lose my
driver's license here. Because, I'm not advocating to overthrow the government or anything, but I just would like to question that one aspect, since there are so many people who need money. What would happen if you just gave that excess
amount? That's like counterfeiting.
Yeah. It is like that, though?
Yeah, it's like that.
Why? Because there's no money to back... there's no silver or gold to back it up?
Well, it doesn't mean anything. Not that it really means all that much.
But nobody would know. It's not counterfeit money. It's real money. There'll just be more of it.
A point. But if you're a counterfeiter...
Who makes up their mind how much money there will be?
If you're a counterfeiter, you'd be a fool to print a $1 bill.
Well, no, I was just using that as an example. They probably burn hundreds, too.
Yeah, if you were a counterfeiter, you'd probably do best by doing 10s and 20s.
Mm.
But why waste your time on $1 bills?
Well, it costs you probably $3 in labor.
You get caught doing a $1 bill, you still get the same mandatory sentence as a $20 bill. Plus, you have $19 difference.
That's true, too. What if you counterfeit a dime or a penny? Is that the same sentence?
Exactly, yeah.
That's pretty harsh. But that's the law. Oh, I was talking about losing...
Did you ever squish pennies on the tracks? On the railroad
tracks? They are squished over it. I mean...
On the railroad tracks.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I never have. Actually, I tried it once when I was a real tiny person.
And you got run over?
No, I didn't get run over, but the thing did. It fell off, actually. I couldn't find it after that.
Yeah.
It was on the train. Took a ride. But what I was saying before about losing a license, about advocating to overthrow the government, I contacted the commissioner of motor vehicles today. Well, I tried to anyway. I got to his secretary.
You did?
Yeah. It's not the same commissioner anymore. They changed.
Who is it now?
It's some other guy with another name.
Tully?
No, it's not...
Milton?
No, it's not Milton anymore. I'll know by next week. I'm planning on talking to the guy.
Really?
Probably next Monday. And we're going to get his comments on just why this is. Why do you lose your license if you advocate the overthrow of the government? We were talking about that a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out the answers to those questions.
Let's hope so.
And more.
On Radio Free Weekend.
You say that you told me goodbye. I'll keep the tears in my heart. Oh, yes, I'll try, and I'll try. I'll share your sorrows and joy. I'm only human, but I'll try not to cry. Oh, I was happy with you by my side, but my love I kept shadowed with pride. You ask if I'd be your true love, and I said till I die. Now you told me a new love you found. I'm only human, you see, but you told me goodbye. I'll keep the tears in my heart. Oh yes, I'll try, I'll try. I'll share your sorrows and joys, but you told me goodbye. I'm only human, but I'll try not to cry.
Well.
Play it.
Get down. Back porch blues.
There were mighty tornadoes back in 74 that struck the Ohio.
Well, Eric.
Well, Mike, it's been so much fun this week. It really has. It's been the start of Radio Free Weekend. The fun goes on for all you folks at the other end of the radio. Stay tuned next for Rob Zeiser.
He's really here. He really is.
Oh, he's here. He'll be with you till 7 o'clock. Then Bill McKenzie comes in, takes you over to the Pakistani Hour at 11 o'clock. That's a lot of fun.
With Tahira.
Coming up at 7 p.m.
Sounds like a Star Trek character.
Tahira. It does. 7 p.m., NPR's Jazz Live will be bringing you some of the finest names in jazz.
Who?
Well, you'll find out. Tune in at 7 p.m. And at 9 p.m., our own Lewis Heckheimer, I believe, will be coming in for Jazz on the Air.
No.
It's not Lewis Heckheimer this week. Steve Weiberg?
Yeah.
Is that a fact?
Yeah, he just said
so. Is that a fact,
so.
Frank? Okay, well, Steve Weiberg then will be in.
One of the others.
It's always either Steve Weiberg or Lewis Heckheimer. Jazz on the Air, you can hear old and new music, background, rare recordings, who knows what. And it all comes your way in Radio Free Weekend. I've got just as many good things coming on Sunday. Which you'll find out about
Saturday.
You'll find out about that on Saturday afternoon. Well, Mike, we've done a lot. We've talked to some
interesting people.
Fine people out there.